May 22nd, 2007. I saw Dee at the St. James today, and I was so happy to see him. It's been a long time. I almost didn't recognize him. Dee was all brown, like he had been living outside. I learned he hadn't come to the center because he had gotten into a fight and was beat up by a bunch of kids. They kicked Dee in the head, and I guess they kicked him one too many times because he ended up being put in an ambulance and taken to the hospital. He kept saying over and over that he deserved it. He deserved to be beaten up. The whole time he was making jokes and kidding with the guys in the room. After everyone had left, I went over and sat with him, and we talked for a long time. And although he was acting jovial, he was pretty down, saying he was going to die in the next 2 weeks, talking about some pact he had made with God. Dee started reminiscing, telling me about his girlfriends and his wife from way back, even telling me about when his wife and him went shopping to buy chairs to set up their home, and how the chairs are made from wood and rawhide. Then he started talking about his sister and how she was a good girl, how she went to university, how she got her degree and now teaches at Dawson College. After the center closed, I ran into Dee again, outside, and he talked more about his sister, about where she lives, her phone number, her husband, her kids, and how the last time he saw her was 28 years ago when his niece was just a little baby. I asked Dee if he wanted to call his sister. He said no, he was too scared and that she wouldn't want to talk to him anyways. Finally, I asked if he wanted me to call her. He said yes. I took down her name and her number. Now, I'll call her. When I said goodbye to Dee, and he was standing there beside the fence at the St. James, and he was looking all kind of disheveled and slumped. I remember thinking how he had the look of a little lost boy. And so that week, I did call. I finally got up the nerve. I waited till the very last minute. His sister answered the phone, and I said something like, "This is Karen Spencer, and I don't want to put you in an awkward position, but your brother, Dee, wants to know if he can call you." His sister, who had answered the phone, was probably in a state of shock. There was no response for a while. And then she started talking and talking and telling me how it's been 8 years since the family has heard from Dee. And she told me all kinds of things about Dee and how she loved him and what a kind person he is and how happy she is to know that he's alive. I put her in touch with Anne-Marie from the St. James Center. And then after I hung up, felt such a huge wave of sadness. A sadness about how absolutely cruel and absurd the world seems to be. That there's all this love that we can never feel, we can never access. And the dream was, I dreamt I could see my mother's house from my kitchen window.
I had a dream that I was having a long walk and I came to this forest, which I managed to have flash of thoughts of having clothing, food, and everything I need to survive. Mm. Say I'd escape the Second World War or something. Mm. So I had food and all my supplies. But what I did in my dream in the forest, I dumped all my food, I dumped all my clothes, and I must have swam across the lake because there was like a depletion there. I couldn't remember nothing between. So finally, I found myself in this lake, and it's a really deep lake. It's like about 500 feet deep. So when I must have swam across the lake, and before I woke up, I was swimming, just treading water beside this huge cliff like a huge rock formation that goes straight down. So I was just treading water. I was getting night, right? So it seems strange, but I asked a fish. There was a fish. I asked a fish, is there more fish down there? And then there seemed to be no reply or whatever, because fish obviously can't talk. So I'm treading water and it's getting night. So I looked around in the trees and the mountains. I had this flash, like, where am I? It's like I have no food. I have no water. I have no change of clothes. I don't know where I am. And to swim across the lake back, it's a long swim. Anyway, so the dream ended such that when I did wake up, I was glad to wake up out of my dream.
May 30th, 2007. I saw Dee at the center today. His eyes looked tired and hard. Said he's in shock about his sister, and that his sister is in contact with the people from the St. James Center. He wanted to hear everything I could remember about the conversation I had with his sister. He told me he's afraid. Afraid of contaminating his sister's life with homelessness. He said it's as if he is a leper, and if he sees his sister, he will infect her. And the dream that day was, I dreamed a dozen or more brown thistles were embedded in my thumb.
Sobre una playa rocosa, una niña viene hacia mí y pregunta, si voy a tener un niño o una niña. Yo contesto, un niño. Always, when we have a child and it's coming, that mean that God is still believe in us. You know, still believe in us, in the humankind.
June 18th, 2007. I asked Anne-Marie about Dee, if he had been into the center, if she had seen him. She said the last time she saw him, he was again saying he was no good and that he was going to die. He had had a conversation with his sister on the phone, and his sister kept saying that she loves him. She told him that she has been searching in the morgues, looking at photos of unclaimed bodies, looking for him. And how could he do that to her, not contact her for 8 years? And Dee was saying he loves her, and that was why he wasn't contacting her, because he brought her nothing but pain. I remember a while back Dee telling me he didn't want to open his heart anymore because loving someone just brought him pain. I haven't seen Dee since. He's not been into the art room, and this is a month later. His sister and his family came to the art room, and they talked with Anne-Marie. They left a letter for Dee with all their phone numbers and all their contact information. The dream that day was, I dreamt I was being helpful, then later realized I had messed up.
Background is easily as important as foreground.
I don't know if your dreams and your life have a connection, but I think they do.
Talking about them is sort of like talking. It's like talking about a bird you saw yesterday or something.
Si jamais bébé comme tout le monde.
Yeah, it's beautiful.